Buying or selling a home can be challenging, but it doesn't have to be. Heritage Realty makes buying and selling easy. With Heritage Realty, you get local market expertise, one-on-one service, and the support of a network of agents across the area. Heritage Realty cares about the details and goes above and beyond to deliver the service you need. Knowledge is power. Trust Heritage Realty to buy or sell your home. For the newest listings and detailed market reports, visit heritagerealtyknox.com. Heritage Realty, where today's technology meets traditional customer service.
This is the starting lineup. Will West, Logan Ward here with you. 656-9900, your phone number. If you'd like to get on board, we'll take a look at maybe the nuclear option actually happening in college football. It could be closer than you think right now with the way that some of the power brokers in college football are talking. I'm talking about college football peeling away from the NCAA. We might not be that far from it. It could happen by the end of this calendar year. We'll talk about it next. First, though, it's time to get you caught up on what you missed in the world of sports. Here's your morning buzz. All right, NBA last night. Bucks came back down 14 points to beat the Boston Celtics, 110-107. Giannis ended up with 40-11. Valiant effort from Grant Williams and a couple of kind of cheap foul calls that were against him late in the game last night. Not a great offensive performance for Grant, though. 0-for-3 from the field, 0-for-2 from the three-point line. Just 2 rebounds, 1 assist, minus 11 if you're into the advanced metrics there. So not a great night for Grant, and Giannis kind of got a hold of him. But a lot of those times it was Giannis, Logan Ward, driving like a running back directly into Grant. Grant gets called for the foul. And that's kind of, and that's, I'll be honest, that's why I stopped watching the NBA Finals last year, was I watched him do that to the Suns all day long, and I just said, I'm not watching this dude just lower his head and put a shoulder in somebody, and he gets a foul call, gets called for, and he ends up at the free throw line.
That was a must win last night for the Celtics, right?
Yeah, it was. It was.
I'd say so too. I mean, you were up, 12 at one point in the fourth quarter, 12 points. Wow.
Yeah, that was 14 was where you were in the fourth at one point. 14 points. Jason Tatum ended up with 34 points, but they take the L, the Celtics do, and the Bucks have a 3-2 series lead. In the late game last night, it was the Grizzlies 134-95 over the Golden State Warriors. That series still at 3-2 as well, but Memphis is able to stay alive. Steph Curry's not shooting well from beyond the arc. He ends up 3-8 last night, though, just 14 points on the night. Grizzlies went absolutely nuts to be able to stay alive. We'll see if they have anything for another closeout game. I don't know that they necessarily do.
22 turnovers for the Warriors last night.
Yeah.
That's not going to win you any basketball game.
No, it's not. That's not going to get it done. That was one of those games where, I hate to say it, but sometimes you see teams that have experience that just say, I don't care. And this is, especially if it doesn't start out their way. You see it in the NFL sometimes too, if you watch a lot of NFL games where a team says, it's not our day. We'll lock it up and we'll come back another day and see what happens from there. Braves beat the Red Sox 5-3 last night at Truist Park, kind of getting off the snide after that loss to the Red Sox in game one of that series. Earlier, though, in the day, Christian Yelich, third cycle, record tying, MLB record, third time he's hit for the cycle. Brewers fell to the Reds 14-11. Don't look now. The Reds were 2-22. Just a few days ago. They're 7-24 right now.
They're hot. They're getting a little warm right now.
They're starting to figure it out. Elsewhere, it was the Astros over the Twins 5-1. Cardinals beat the Orioles 10-1. Royals topped the Rangers 8-2. Giants over the Rockies 7-1. To the NHL, Rangers stayed alive. They beat the Penguins 5-3. Pittsburgh still leads that series 3-2. Panthers, Cardiac Panthers did it again, coming back down multiple goals. They end up having 5 in the final two frames. They end up beating the Capitals 5-3 in that match, that series. That series now at 3-2, and then the Flames beat the Stars in the late series 3-1. Calgary now has a 3-2 series lead. And finally, so we got Tennessee baseball and Tennessee softball both playing today. Number 10 Lady Vols is going to play Mississippi State today. That game is at noon. You can hear that game on AM 990 right here on our station. So if you're looking this afternoon to listen to the Lady Vol game, Brian Rice has called the Lady Vols in the SEC tournament, the SEC quarterfinal matchup against Mississippi State. That game's going to be at noon today on AM 990. Also, Tennessee with a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series against 22nd-ranked Georgia.
Changing up the weekend rotation, too. Tayshia Dolander going tonight for Tennessee. Blade Tidwell, game two on Friday night, then a TBA on Saturday. Kind of a weird move to change the rotation up maybe a little week too early in my mind. But hey, got to rest the arms postseason. Two freshman arms not going to start. We'll see.
Is that what it's about, you think, rest?
I think so, too.
Do you think it's about
the 100%.
They've been touched up a little bit.
That's true, they have.
They've been touched up just a little bit, and so maybe you need to make some things happen. But again, this series is going to be Thursday, Friday, Saturday for Vol baseball against Georgia. It's tonight at 7 o'clock, Friday at 5:30, and then Saturday at 1 o'clock. So that's what Tennessee baseball is going to be. Lady Vol softball is going to be in the SEC tournament all weekend long, and they start out today against Mississippi State at noon. That is a look at your morning buzz brought to you by Heritage Realty. HeritageRealtyKnox.com. Amazing at bringing together buyers and sellers in East Tennessee. It's a boutique firm that focuses on you, the client, over the needs of the sales pipeline. They're incredible when it comes to property management as well. Heritage Realty. All right. We teased it just a second ago. Jim Phillips, the commissioner of the ACC, is teasing. He is the latest. And this is after Gene Smith, the athletics director at Ohio State, had a warning for the NCAA that they'd better stop what's going on with NIL or else. Jim Phillips in the ACC says that or else could be splitting off from the NCAA for Power Conference football. We'll talk about it next. Starting lineup, 99.1, the Sports Animal. Here's Logan Ward with your buddy Greg, RVs and Motorhome Sports Update.
Yeah, well, good morning. Last night in the NBA playoffs, the Milwaukee Bucks came back in the fourth quarter to take down the Boston Celtics 110-107. Giannis Antetokounmpo dropped 40 points. The Bucks now lead that series 3-2, and the Memphis Grizzlies hammered the Golden State Warriors last night 134-95. Ja Morant missed yet again. The Warriors still lead that series, however, 3-2. Major League Baseball, the Braves got by the Red Sox 5-3. Orlando Arcia walked it off with a two-run homer in the bottom of the ninth inning. The Cubs got by the Padres 7-5. The Reds took down the Brewers 14-11. And the Yankees won yet again over the Blue Jays 5-3. It's 6:08, talking, could college football break away from the NCAA? We'll discuss coming up next on the starting lineup. Have a good morning. I'm Logan Ward.
Starting lineup 99.1, the Sports Animal. Will West, Logan Ward here with you. 656-9900 is that phone number. All right, Logan Ward alertly found this at 24/7 Sports yesterday, an interview with Brandon Marcello that he did with ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips. Now, the ACC is having their spring meetings in Amelia Island, Florida right now. You ever been to Amelia Island, Logan? It's a lovely place.
I have not. That's just above Jacksonville,
yeah,
correct?
Just above Jacksonville.
That's what I thought.
So, yeah, really nice place. Nice little downtown area. A lot of shops and restaurants and
who
things like
so
that.
Who knew so much news would come out of the ACC spring meetings?
Nobody knew that.
After what a disaster that conference has been for 2 years in football.
So the thing with these meetings, why there was so much news, one, they talked about going to a 3-5-5 model, which is you have three opponents that you play every single year within your conference. Then you go to five, you play the other five teams in your conference 1 year, the next other five teams in your conference the next year. That way every 2 years, you get everybody in your conference in 2 years instead of it being kind of like it is in the SEC where you just got Ole Miss and you're not going to get them again for 7 years. So, you know, I mean, really, by the time you do a home and home, Logan Ward will end up being a man in his 40s. That's kind of what you're looking at the end of the day. I guess Logan won't, but Eric Kane actually will by the time you do another home and home with Ole Miss. And Eric Kane is, 28 years of age right now. So that's how long it takes to play everyone in the conference. So we talked about yesterday, is this something the SEC should consider? Well, then yesterday, Jim Phillips is the latest to echo an idea from Gene Smith, the athletics director at Ohio State, who last week told Sports Illustrated and ESPN the FBS conferences should possibly operate under the guidance of the college football playoff with their own rules and their own governance structure. Now, again, that wouldn't just be power conferences. That would be all 10 FBS conferences. And it really, not the FCS, not 1AA. So Division 1A back in the day is what that would be. In kind of giving his explanation, I will say this. He does say, Jim Phillips, I don't think it happens right now. Maybe not even in the next five years or the next 10 years, but it's something for us to look at as he's part of the 21-person transformation committee in college athletics. They're slimming down the rule book, speeding up processes and things like that with implementation and enforcement and stuff like that. Now, if you listen to the program regularly, you know that we talked about Gene Smith from Ohio State telling SI kind of as a warning or one way or the other, NCAA, either you're going to police NIL and stop pay for play, stop inducing high school players by saying, we'll pay you this much money if you come to this school, and you'd better enforce the people who have already broken this rule as well and go back and do it, or else we're going to split off and do our own thing. Now you have Jim Phillips, who doesn't take necessarily that stance, but does say maybe we need our own set of rules. One of the things that's mentioned, the NCAA football game and collective bargaining with players to make sure you could get the player's name, image, and likeness and abilities on the game and have it accurate the way it used to be, and other things like that. I'll ask you this, Logan Ward. What is the benefit right now to FBS football to break away from the NCAA? Like, what would change if you went under, and what this would be the college football playoff being the governing body for football, but everything else staying with the NCAA?
So, probably not a lot because, I mean, Will, I mean, we know the NCAA, they have nothing to do with, you know, college football in general at all. It's kind of weird how much money the college football playoff makes, but the NCAA has nothing to do with it.
Yep.
It's all Disney, it's all ESPN. So, on the surface, not a lot's going to change. It's just, you know, college football is a whole different beast than any other Olympic sport and that the NCAA governs. I think it's just kind of, you know, the power brokers that be in college football want it all under one umbrella, and the NCAA has nothing to do with it anyway, so why not just branch out on your own?
Yeah, so I can't help but, because Gene Smith, his threat was very literally about break labor law on our behalf. If you don't break labor law on our behalf, United States labor law on our behalf, and again, I know most of you listening out there don't love where NIL is right now, where Tennessee's third best player, somebody at the University of Alabama could reach out to him right now, offer more NIL money, they could transfer and go play at Alabama next year. I'm aware that you don't like that scenario going down. That doesn't mean it's not legal, right? Like, you can not like things and understand that it's perfectly legal for something like that to happen. So that's the, and until you get non-competes and stuff like that, into contracts, NIL contracts, I don't know that you're that it's going to stop. But what Gene Smith was asking the NCAA to do was break labor law. It was violate labor law, point blank. And what Greg Sankey and the commissioner of the Pac-12 went to members of Congress last week, the Senate, and tried to do was saying change labor law just for us for something special. Now, that's not ever going to happen, I don't believe, because one, you met with a Republican and a Democrat. You mentioned Marsha Blyburn, the senator from Tennessee, and then a senator from Washington as well. Republicans are usually pro-business, right, and pro-competition. Democrats are usually pro-labor. Neither of those would care what the NCAA is doing, you know what I mean, or college football is doing it. No one's going to look out for the NCAA's best interest. So your hope is you pay enough people off that you can get this done, and they don't have that. They don't have it like that. College football's big business. It ain't pharmaceuticals big business or oil big business or what tobacco was back in the day. So that's probably not going to happen whatsoever. So I think right now what you're seeing are the power brokers at college football. This is my read, Logan. You tell me if you disagree. My read on this is we don't like what's going on. We want to find a way to stop it. We have no legal way to. The NCAA won't step in and stop it and take on these lawsuits and things like that. We're willing to, and we're willing to try to fight this in court. Now, they're going to lose. That's why the NCAA is not willing to fight this. And we'll do whatever it takes to try to make sure that we can control this. And really, it's about the mobility of players and having what we're talking about. If Tennessee's second best player this year decides, if somebody from Ohio State calls and says, I'll pay you twice as much NIL money, and that player decides, okay, I'm going to transfer to Ohio State. If Tennessee were to play Ohio State in a bowl game next year, well, too bad. You know what I mean? Like, that's just the way that the free market and the open market works. And I think they're trying to stop that, and they want the NCAA to step in. So I think what we're seeing right now are warning shots.
No, that's it for sure. I mean, clearly, okay, a lot of bad things are, you know, there's not a whole lot of good things right now with the NCAA. We all recognize that. NIL, transfer portal, they haven't done a whole lot correct. One thing that they won't do, they're not idiots. They're not going to break labor law. So, yes, I agree. This is just like, okay, well, the NCAA, you're not going to help us with this. Greg Sankey, power brokers that be in college athletics, we're going to branch off for the one big moneymaker in college athletics. What stuffs our pockets the most, because the basketball tournament just stuffs the NCAA's pockets, quite frankly, and that's all they care about.
The schools and the conferences get something, but it ain't close to it.
But not as much as what the NCAA does.
Yeah, they get to keep it all in football.
So it's just, hey, you're not going to help us break the rules? Let's try to go out on our own and do it ourselves. I get it, but like, so I'm kind of different on this because the NCAA has nothing to do with college football now other than to punish people.
Yeah, no, and they don't have the ability to do that.
So
right?
I'm kind of like, would it change that much?
No, nothing's going to change. That's the key, is nothing is going to change, except for maybe they're willing to try to fight some things in court, or if you have fewer teams, maybe with more money, maybe you can pump more money into Congress and try to get labor law changed on your behalf. You would think so. Most likely, I mean, again, it was the Supreme Court of Brett Kavanaugh's the one that brought the hammer down most on him. So I find it hard to believe right now It's a Democratic-controlled Congress. And so I don't believe they're going to do something that's not pro-labor. And then we're probably in the midterm election, not to make it a political thing, but that's who they're trying to bring into this. There is going to be Republican-controlled Congress.
That's the thing. Will they wait to do this maybe next year when the...
When Republicans are most likely in charge of Congress?
That's what I would guess.
They're usually pro-competition. Republicans are usually pro-competition. So again, there's nobody here that aligns with the NCAA because, let's be very honest, or with power, conference football, because what they're trying to do is break the law. And they want to be able to find a way to legally break the law. And you let us do it because we want to. And that's kind of what we're looking at. Now, the other side of it's this. In the past, whenever there's been talk of this happening, I remember doing an interview 15 years ago with Tony Barnhart where he said the next 10 years, I believe that power conference football is going to break away from everything else. Well, what happens with basketball? They'll just let basketball go under. Mark Emmer just run the NCAA into the ground to such an extent now that there's no way they do that. Time was, that was the poison pill, was if you want to break off and do your own thing in power conference football, then that's fine, but you're not going to get this money from the NCAA tournament, and no one was willing to turn that down. But now we've gone through another 15-year period since that where they haven't gotten enough money for the NCAA tournament for what it's worth. They haven't gotten enough money for the NCAA women's tournament. They haven't gotten enough money for baseball's World Series, an NCAA tournament, college softball. There was an audit that just came out last year. The NCAA has been massively undercharging for this. And so they have kind of run things into the ground, the NCAA has. So they don't necessarily have the sway and the leverage by dangling all these other sports that you're making a little bit of money off of and saying you're going to lose this if you break off for football. One, Jim Phillips, I think, smartly says football only, football only, football only, and he's not insulting the way that some people have been. Two, you're not monetizing that the way that you should.
That's what makes no sense. Why is the NCAA not, beating down the door of the Power Five commissioner saying, hey, let us have a bigger piece of the pie or just a piece of the pie in general of the college football playoff revenue because it's a huge moneymaker. They're not involved at all.
Well, they don't want
to. It's all Disney and ESPN.
Yeah, and look, ESPN runs college football. That's who runs
college. 100%, yeah.
The reason Oklahoma and Texas are coming to the SEC is not because you, the fan, want it. Or Greg Sankey wants it, or the other schools want it.
No fans wants it here.
Yeah. It's because ESPN wants it, right? And so they'll say, hey, we'll give you more money if you do this, and that's what it's all about at the end of the day. Here's the question I have for you, and we might dive into this a little bit more tomorrow. Is there too much disruption too quickly happening in college football and college athletics? Between NIL, transfer portal, conference realignment. I mean, look, college football was pretty much the same for a whole really long time. There was a shift in the 90s when the SEC expanded, and then there was a shift about, 12 years ago. But right now we're seeing massive shifts all over the place in college athletics. Is it too much too quickly in your mind?
I mean, I think me and you did the first show on the station after the, Texas-Oklahoma stuff, came out last year. And we said, man, college football in 5 years, just based off conference realignment, is going to look completely, completely unrecognizable. Fast forward a whole summer later, we're like, way back when, we had no idea what was coming down the line. NIL, what happened with that? The transfer portal, it's a bit of a mess. The transfer portal window might indeed happen here in a couple of years. I want to say yes, but I think that college football, in terms of how the NCAA operated and college athletics as a whole operated, it was way, way far behind. So I think it might be catching up to the rest of pro sports and where, business and, sports are in this country. But I just kind of think maybe.
Yeah, I think that it's happening quickly. It's happening too quickly for them. I don't know that the fan necessarily cares that much, and I don't think that it's going to hurt the audience at the end of the day. But people are so, look. When Tennessee plays Florida this upcoming year, you're watching the Tennessee-Florida game, right? But I do think it's happening so quickly they don't know how to handle it.
If this happens, though, if the NCAA does indeed let college football break off in their own, I want to see a very well laid out plan for college football and the direction that it's going to go.
Well, I want to see any benefit to anybody.
That's true.
Like anything at all. Because everything Jim Phillips tells Brandon Marcello at 24/7 about this, there's no benefit to breaking off. And they keep saying that, and really the biggest thing seems to be we can collectively bargain with the players for the NCAA football game and it'll be cheaper than having to collectively bargain with everybody.
But that's probably going to happen anyway, right?
Yeah, exactly. You're going to get less money if you play if you play at Chattanooga, you're going to get less money than if you play at Tennessee when it comes to doing the college football game. And if you want the same amount of money, they'll just not have Chattanooga on the game. And that's what it'll be. And so, but right now, I'm seeing no benefit from Gene Smith outside of you better violate labor law. And I'm seeing no benefit from Jim Phillips. There's nothing you're gaining. Nothing changes right now by you breaking off from the NCAA. That's Logan Ward. I'm Will West. 656-9900 is your phone number. Okay, if geopolitical tensions in sports, there's one place we don't ever want to see convergence: politics, sports. Right now, there's a golf tournament going on in London this week that's run by, that's really Saudi funded, run by the Saudi Sovereign Wealth Fund. And the PGA and the European Tour, because Saudis are running this, are holding their players out. We saw Russians that weren't able to compete in international and Olympic events and things like that. Is there a place where we do say, hey, politics, social issues, things like that actually matter in sports? And if Russia's going to invade the Ukraine, then no, they don't get to compete in the world track competitions and things like that. We talk about it next. Politics and sports, how separate should it really be? Starting lineup on 99.1, the Sports Animal. All right, so there's an event going on right now in London, or this week in London, called the LIV Golf League. It is backed by the Saudi Sovereign Fund. And the PGA this week announced, and the European Tour announced, it's no longer called the European Tour, but something like that, that I'm a golfer. But they announced this week that they're not going to allow their players to play in this league. And a lot of people were upset about Phil Mickelson saying, heck, y'all go, I don't care what they did off, you know, away from golf. I'm just there to make money. This is a chance to make money. It's a chance to push the PGA to give us more of a piece of the prize if I go play in this. And people had a huge backlash against Phil Mickelson. The Russians have not been able to play in Euros right now, is the way that any European competition that we're seeing. And when it comes to qualifying for the World Cup's going to come up later on this fall in the Middle East because of the Russian invasion of the Ukraine. You had teams and that were just flat unwilling to, and countries that said, I will not go to Russia and compete against them in the World Cup qualifying. And they had to figure out what's going on there. FIFA did, to say, okay, do we disqualify the team that won't go to Russia, or do we disqualify Russia and keep it out? They don't have known how to handle this. We've seen other things where All-Star Game pulled for him from Atlanta, things like that. So here's the thing that I want to know.
One other thing this weekend, Will, at the UFC fight, Dana White comes out after the fight and says, we're not allowing our fighters to walk out with their country's flags anymore, making their walk to the octagon. That's another political topic.
So I guess the key is he wants to just avoid it becoming
exactly,
something political or something like that. So here's my question. We don't want to get politics involved in sports. The last thing we need to do usually is get politics involved in sports. There have been times it's been beneficial. Steroids in baseball, right? When Congress brought, you know, Rafael Palmeiro there to tell bald-faced lies, Mark McGuire and stuff like that, these guys to talk about doing steroids in baseball, from their baseball started cleaning things up. Normally I am a believer of, if you want to screw something up, get the federal government involved in it. This isn't just the federal government. What you're seeing is sports leagues having to make decisions based on social or political stands by different states, different countries. Some go to war. Look, there's a big difference between voting rights laws changing in Georgia, where the state legislature gets to oversee voting rights as opposed to an independent commission, and what we see with the Ukraine and Russia, right? Those are two very different things, but it all falls within the same category. So my question to you right now is this. What do you do about situations like this where, yeah, it's Saudi Arabia, they've done some really terrible things, but there's a whole lot of people that are willing to go over there and make money, right? I mean, the WWE's been willing to go to Saudi Arabia and make a ton of money. They actually had two times ago, I think, one of their planes detained because it's a totalitarian regime. And one of their planes was detained and they were left for hours. Their wrestlers were just sitting on a runway waiting to be able to try to take off while there's some fake charge that was brought up against people and they started looking into it, or some false accusation that they legitimately were looking into, whatever it might have been. You have right now Russia with FIFA, with the World Cup. What should happen there? Where is there a role where it matters what you say politically or socially, and whether you should be able to play sports? Where is the role for that? Because I don't think any of us want it to be there, but let's be honest. But at the same time, I ain't trying to watch Russia in the World Cup this year if they're still doing everything they're doing with the World Cup, with Ukraine, right?
It plays a role, certainly. You know, I think a lot of people, you know, in this, you know, country kind of hate on some of the athletes that come out and say, well, you know, I'm not voting for this president. I'm voting, you know, for this person. I'm backing this organization, this is bad, blah, blah. I get all that. I think a lot of people will kind of take in, you know, terms of, well, I don't agree with this professional athlete, this league, this sports figure politically, so therefore I'm just not going to watch the sport. I'm kind of able to separate, you know, person from athlete. LeBron James. I love LeBron James. I don't agree with, you know, pretty much anything he does politically, which is fine. I can always separate athlete from person. I get all that. It plays a role in sports. I think it's probably playing a bigger role in sports than what it should. But here's the thing. I don't know how you kind of get over the fact. PGA Tour, LIV Golf Tournament, yes, the Saudi money comes from bad places. I don't really know what the PGA Tour can do, because if they do allow their players to go over there and play, you kind of get a little bit of hate thrown towards your way. So,
well, one,
you got to find a happy medium.
You open yourself up to competition, which the PGA Tour doesn't want.
That's true.
Legitimate competition. But you also have to then start answering questions for allowing your golfers to compete in an event that's funded by the Saudi government. At the end of the day, that's what you have to do. And I think that there's two different conversations here. There's, do you want to hear about athletes and politics? Because let's be very honest. Colin Kaepernick could have said whatever Colin Kaepernick wanted to say, and it had not been a big deal. But nobody's trying to go pay $180 to get protested in front of, right? I don't care if you agree or disagree. You're just not trying to watch it. You know? So it's that ended up being an issue there. But if Colin Kaepernick said what he said during press conferences and then went out there and played football and didn't make a big deal of it, I don't think it would have been an issue.
And it was really good. Wouldn't have been a big
deal. And if he was good.
A big deal, exactly.
Yeah, let's be honest. If he wasn't lazy. That's part of it. Colin Kaepernick got the $19 million a year contract and then just decided, meh. Now, all that stuff happened after he was just kind of like, I got my money. I don't care if I try. Pulled a Ben Simmons. You know what I mean? Like, so Kyrie Irving. But he did it before any of the social stuff that he did. But I don't think anybody would have cared that much if he'd have said it and then moved on, because there were so many other players that said exactly the same thing that Kaepernick did or similar things to Kaepernick did, but they didn't protest in front of you, and you're not trying to watch that. There's a difference between, I think, an athlete doing something, and then what do you do about the nation that's actually doing these things? And how do you handle that from a competition standpoint? Like right now, the NFL, they're going to play a game in Frankfurt, Germany, right, coming up this season. If they decide to play a game in Saudi Arabia, how would that go down? And should they play it? Look, you make a ton of money off of it. You could probably grow the sport by doing it that way. But there's some not awesome things going on in Saudi Arabia.
So, I mean, it's the thing with the NBA in China right now.
Yeah.
A lot of, you know, Republicans will boycott the NBA because of how much money they make from China.
Well, Daryl Morey lost his job because Houston had huge Chinese fan base because of Yao Ming, the Houston Rockets did. Daryl Morey was doing a fantastic job running the Houston Rockets and had them as a contender. Couldn't win a title and breakthrough because James Harden's lazy. But they, don't get me wrong, I'm lazy. So as someone who's lazy, game appreciates game. But it's he got fired because he spoke out in defense of Hong Kong.
I forgot what a big deal that was until last night. I was going back and reading about this topic.
Yeah, so it's a matter of, but because they make so much money off of China, they ended up walking away from it. Now, I'll tell you the one league that did something about it and can't afford to do something about it is the EPL. They just said the Chinese were mad about people speaking out against, you know, what's happening with Hong Kong and China. And they just said, okay, we'll just cancel our television rights deal with you. But it's the richest league in the world. They can afford to do that, right? They make four times, I think, right now what the NBA does. So they can afford to not have $900 million from China, American, to come to their league. The NBA, I don't know if they can afford to have $300 million not come into their league with the way things are going with the NBA right now. So it's different there when it comes to money. But so I'll ask you this. Where's the line? Where does it go? Like right now, if Russia wanted to send their men's soccer team or men's basketball team or hockey, Russia wants to send their men's hockey team to the U.S. right now to play an exhibition matchup against the U.S. national hockey team, are you good with that?
I would allow them to come over here and play unless you've seen, you know, some athletes, which to my mind, knowledgeable, I have not seen one Russian, you know, high profile athlete say, hey, I am for the Russian invasion of Ukraine. I haven't seen a, you know, sports star from Russia say that. I've seen everyone condemn this, and, you know, a lot of people have done that certainly, and as they should. I would allow them to come play, but you can't use the Russian flag. It's some, you know, generic, just random, you know, gray and white type of flag.
Or no flag whatsoever.
No banner at all. Yeah, exactly.
You can come play, but we're not going to celebrate you.
I think right? That's fair.
Okay. So that's the way that I would probably look at it as well. To me, there's a difference between allowing someone to compete and allowing an individual Olympic athlete to compete and understanding we will not play your national anthem. You will not have your flag at the Olympics. You won't have that. Or in the World Cup, if you want to come somewhere else and play and you never get a home game again while Vladimir Putin's in charge, if you want to go play somewhere else on the road, that's fine. We will not play your national anthem. We will not do anything. To me, that there's a difference between allowing someone to compete versus honoring their nationality.
Yeah, I don't subscribe to the theory that says, you know, hey, just because this person is a Russian citizen, that they should be outcasted for what's happening right now in Ukraine.
Yeah.
I don't subscribe to that theory. A lot of people do, but once again, I kind of separate, you know, politics from athletics, and then, you know, athletes who say Russian invasion of Ukraine is completely, completely wrong. Therefore,
well,
let it come and play.
They got family that might get killed. Let's be honest. Yeah, right? So they can't speak out against it. So because people are going to say, why aren't they speaking out against it? Because they can't. Because they get family might get killed. So they. I mean, I hate to say it like that, but it's 6:45 in the morning. But it is what it is.
It's true.
That's to me. That's where the line is. The line is you want. If you're Russian, you want to compete. Fine. You're Saudi. You want to compete. Fine. If you want us to sit and honor you and honor your country and things like that and make a big deal out of it, you can kick rocks. I think that's where the line probably needs to be. That's Logan Ward. I'm Will West. 656-9900 is your phone number. Love it or leave it's next. Starting lineup, 99.1, the Sports Animal.
NBA playoffs games last night. The Bucks came back to take down the Celtics 110-107. Giannis Antetokounmpo dropped 40 points. The Bucks now lead that series 3-2 heading into Game 6 in Milwaukee. The Grizzlies hammered the Warriors last night 134-95. Ja Morant missed Game 5 yet again. The Warriors now hold a 3-2 series lead. Major League Baseball, the Braves got by the Red Sox 5-3. Orlando Arcia walked it off with a 2-run homer in the bottom of the 9th inning. The Reds got by the Brewers 14-11. The Cubs took down the Padres 7-5. It's 6:43. Love it or leave it. Coming up next on the starting lineup. Have a good morning. I'm Logan Ward.
Final segment, hour number one of the starting lineup. Look, not to bring a ton of political stuff in here, but I think at the end of the day, where it comes down to is there's a difference between the country doing something and the athlete doing something. If Phil Mickelson wants to go play in this Saudi tour and sponsors say, I don't want to be part of what's going on with Phil Mickelson, to me, that's the free market, right? If Colin Kaepernick wants to protest and the NFL team say, I don't want to watch you protest, say what you want to on a microphone, but don't sit and protest in the middle of a game. Then, and the NFL team say, I don't want to bring that into my locker room. That's the free market. And if Colin Kaepernick says, you know what? No, this means enough to me that I'm not going to do that, that I don't care. Then he shouldn't play. Then don't play football. Right?
It's not the norm. You know, my look on this is I can separate politics, you know, human from athlete. That's not the norm, is it?
What's that?
I feel like a lot of people just, you know, can't separate what the human believes politically and the athlete.
No. People can't separate anything from anything. Have you been on social media? I mean, so you're young, but if you had a Facebook account, people don't know how to control their emotions. That's what it comes down to, a lot of it at the end of the day, and they don't know how to have a conversation with people that disagree. I would say this, though, and part of this, maybe I grew up in the Reagan 80s, right, and seeing between Reagan and Clinton, and then Bill Clinton, if you want to go the other side of the aisle. A lot of times, it's relationship that breaks down those walls, right? And gets people to see things your way and see where the error of their ways are. It's having a relationship, not ostracizing them. I think there's a difference between that and what we're seeing right now with Russia and Ukraine. So if a Russian athlete wants to be here, I don't think I have a problem with that. Chelsea, the EPL just made Chelsea sell. The owner of Chelsea was a Russian oligarch who got rich off of Putin and is a big Putin supporter.
Well, that makes sense.
They made him sell the team. And it's like, nope, you're selling the team. He's going to make a ton of money off of it, but you don't get to have an ownership at a club here. There's a difference, I think, between the athlete and the person versus the country itself coming and competing. Because you mentioned it's been a couple of Olympics since we've had the Russian flag and anthem and the whole nine yards that's happened there. That was just because they always every time cheat, right? Like 100% of the time, if they have an athlete that's good, they're on steroids. That's just the way that it goes.
Or doping, yeah.
Yeah, in some way, shape, or form. So it's that was because of that. So I look at it and say that we got to learn, I think, in this country a little bit to say, look, I don't agree with that guy, and if I don't want to buy, you don't want to buy his shoes, don't buy his shoes, and that's fine. And versus, do we let Russia come here, make money off of us, and peddle their wares and things like that? To me, that's a different animal altogether. 656-9900, your phone number. Right now, it's time for Love It or Leave It. What do you have for us today, Logan Ward?
All right, well, the ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips says there's talk in college football about the FBS splitting away from the NCAA. Love it or leave it, the 10 FBS conferences leave the NCAA's umbrella.
Hey, look, I leave that they should. Until I see anyone that shows me a benefit of doing this, there's zero benefit of doing this. There's nothing that would be different and change. So why are you doing this and why are you splitting it off? You're not having to give the NCAA money right now. And you still have the same seat at the table that you had before. So, and frankly, you still kind of run the NCAA. That's the thing people forget. The NCAA is not this autonomous organization.
It's the schools.
It's the schools. It's the schools that are complaining about the NCAA are the NCAA.
It's the Power Five conferences, essentially.
Yeah, that are running the NCAA. So, and again, they're the only thing that we've seen that would be a benefit to anyone here is Gene Smith from Ohio State saying, we want you to violate labor law, and if you don't at least try to violate labor law, we're going to leave. I don't understand. Look, that's not going to happen. You're going to lose in court. So what in the world are we doing here?
I'm going to leave this. It's definitely going to happen. I think, you know, 5 to 7 years down the line, I would take the under right now at 2 or 3. The over right now at 2 or 3. I mean, like you said, what's it going to change? The NCAA has nothing to do with college football now, essentially, other than punish people. That's it. It's, hey, this player is not eligible. Penn State, you have a 4-year bowl ban. You can't do that, so I'm going to leave this.
Wait, is there a portion that's unspoken? Which is college football and college athletics, they want to negotiate to pay players as employees and then control name, image, and likeness. That way they can keep the transfer portal stuff from happening the way that it's happening. Is that something that's being unspoken right now, and that's where they want to go at the end of the day, and they know the rest of the NCAA schools can't do it, but the FBS can't afford to do it?
Oh, right, definitely.
You think that's what it is?
100%. It's all money.
Well, it's money, but is it about making players employees so that they don't transfer? They don't say, the guard from Miami doesn't say, hey, the other guard's making more money in NIL than me. Either you double what I'm making now, and I'm better than him. Double what I'm making right now, or I'm walking away.
That's going to be weird. I mean, you know, ex-quarterback at Tennessee is, you know, a university employee, but then, you know, the starting point guard of the basketball team is not an employee.
That is not going to go well.
That's
You're absolutely
weird to me.
Right.
Love it or leave it. With the transfer portal, NIL, and conference realignment, there has already been too much disruption in college athletics.
Hey, look, has there been too much? The problem was this. You drug your feet for way too long and tried, and you kept getting in front of judges that didn't understand college athletics, and then you finally got in front of one Supreme Court justice that did, and he crushed you. And he blew it all up for you. And so now you have to operate under the same rules that our company operates under, that everybody listening to us, your company operates under, and they don't know how to do it. That's where we're at right now. So has there been too much disruption for them? Yeah, they don't know how to handle it. Has there been too much disruption for me as a sports talk radio host? No. For you as the fan out there listening?
It's good for us.
No, it's great for us. But but for the fan, I don't think the fan likes where it's at. Everybody's watching Tennessee, Florida next year. Everybody's watching Tennessee, Florida in the fall.
Yeah, I'll love this. I think that there certainly has been disruption. But I also think it's kind of catching up to where, you know, pro sports and, you know, really business in this country surrounding sports has been for the last 20 years. College athletics was way far behind. I mean, just in the last year, college athletes, human beings, Americans have been able to profit off their name, image, and likeness. That was a little crazy to me. It's catching up, but right now there's no clear plan where this is heading.
No. They have no idea what to do.
We'll see.
The only thing they're speaking out publicly saying needs to happen is go back to the old rules. That's the only thing they've said publicly.
Yes, and that was a mess too.
Well, and you lost. And it was the Supreme Court. Who else are you going to appeal to?
It's always going to happen. Just, you know, it's on the table now. On this day in 1937, comedian George Carlin was born. Love it or leave it, Carlin is the greatest stand-up comedian of all time.
God rest his soul. He's an all-time great. I'm going to leave this. I can't say George Carlin's the greatest stand-up comedian of all time. The greatest stand-up comedian of all time is Eddie Murphy. He is. And I know he hasn't done it in forever, but I bet Eddie Murphy can get on stage right now at Radio City Music Hall or wherever he wants to go and do another movie like Delirious, like Raw, and it would be just as hilarious. Eddie Murphy's the GOAT. And everybody else is, if you're not, it's the old, Eddie Murphy used to say this about Richard Pryor. If you're not stealing from Richard Pryor, you're not doing it right. Eddie Murphy passed up Richard Pryor. And if you're not stealing from Eddie Murphy now, you're not doing it right.
What kind of comedy did Carlin do? Because I don't know him.
Political, social, all kinds of things. George Carlin, it's funny. Watch YouTube clips.
Oh, then
George
I
Carlin.
Would love this guy. So I'm going to love this. Okay. I've never seen his bits, but I'm going to get,
I would also
go
say,
look at it. I love the dark humor, political, social aspect of comedy. Not just, you know, stand-up cracking, you know, just silly jokes.
Yeah, it can be both, I think, with Carlin a little bit sometimes. It was usually heavy hitting stuff. And I would say Lenny Bruce also deserves a honorable mention.
The Bucks rally from a 14-point fourth quarter deficit to take a 3-2 series lead against the Boston Celtics last night. Love it or leave it, the Bucks should still be the favorite to win the NBA title.
I'm going to leave this. The betting favorite has been the Warriors for a few weeks. I think it still should be the Warriors as long as everyone's healthy. Yes, Steph's struggling right now from the outside shot, but he's going to figure that out a little bit. They're letting them play and push and grab and things like that a little bit, and I think that hurts Steph. Free-flowing game, Steph's the best player in the world. If you're able to grab and push and things like that, Steph is not. So I still think it's the Warriors. I tell you what I want to see, though. The way that Giannis is allowed to just lower his shoulder and drive into Grant Williams like he's a running back hitting the line of scrimmage, and Grant gets called for the foul. What happens to the third time that happens to Draymond in a half? Draymond's going to lose his mind.
Oh, yeah. He'll go crazy.
Yeah.
Gosh. I think the Suns might win it all this year because I think that they're just top to bottom deeper, more talented right now. Steph struggling last night was horrendous for the Warriors. I'll leave this. I still think that the Suns should be right up there. They're not. They're kind of having a struggle series with the Mavs, but my pick right now would be the Phoenix Suns to win the title. Last one, love it or leave it, American athletes should not compete in the LIV Golf League because of Saudi Arabia's history with human rights issues.
I'm going to leave this. I look at it this way. I am a capitalist, and I understand some people would say no, and if you do, I completely respect your opinion. I look at it this way, though. If you want to go over there and play, and you get paid enough by them that the fact that some people in America will hate you and will never buy a product that you're part of again, so you'll get dropped by sponsors, but it works out in the wash, and that's what you want to go do with your life, I think that you should be able to go do that with your life. I don't think Americans should be held out of it or anything like that. And I understand the PGA not wanting to promote competition, their own competition, but I don't have a problem with someone going to do this if they choose to also deal with the consequences.
Yeah, I'll leave it as well. It's a bad look. Yes, that golfer would, lose a ton of sponsors, Phil Mickelson, if that does indeed happen. He's going to lose a ton of sponsors. I get why the PGA won't allow them to do it. If I'm an athlete personally, I'm not going to do it because I know what that's going to do for my brand back here in the States, but I will leave this as well.
That is Logan Ward. I'm Will West. That is Love It or Leave It, brought to you by New Balance Knoxville. New Balance Knoxville, the suburban shopping center. Wide sizes, extra wide sizes, they have them. If you've not seen these styles and colorways they have for summer, you need to check them out. You're always buying local when you buy New Balance Knoxville. All right, we'll come back next. Your morning buzz, get you caught up on what you miss in the world of sports, get you prepared for Tennessee Lady Vol softball today, playing in the SEC tournament. Tennessee baseball going up against number 22 Georgia. Starting lineup, 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.